I give you a new commandment, love one another. Today's gospel passage occurs during the Last Supper. Jesus is at the end of his earthly life, and he is giving the 12 apostles one last lesson. Well, in this case, the 11 apostles, as we hear that Judas had just left to go and betray Jesus. So, love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's important for us to remember that we've actually heard something like this before. When a scribe had asked Jesus how to gain eternal life, Jesus answered that it was to follow the commandments. And it was then clarified that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with your whole heart and mind and soul and strength, and that the second commandment was like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. The scribe had then asked Jesus, well, who was his neighbor? And Jesus responded with the parable of the Good Samaritan, making it clear that even those who were seemingly enemies could be neighborly if they would just show each other mercy. So it seems pretty clear that Jesus has already explained that men and women are to love, well, basically everybody. But here, on the eve of his passion, Jesus tells the disciples that he is giving them a new commandment. What exactly, then, is so new? How does it differ from that earlier teaching that they had received to love one's neighbor as oneself? Well, let's start by remembering that right now, Jesus is at a closed party. This is the Last Supper, attended only by Jesus and the 12 apostles. This is a teaching for his own. The scribe who had earlier asked him about the path to eternal life was not a follower of Christ. In fact, he even asked the question specifically to put Jesus to the test. And Jesus' answer sets forth a good ideal for all mankind. Treat each other with mercy. No longer use divisions of land or language to determine who you should treat as a neighbor and who you should treat as an enemy. Instead, love all of mankind. Treat everyone as you yourself would want to be treated by them. Now, this makes sense to our ears. I dare say that this sort of activity is pretty common even in our secular American culture. This basic attitude of respect taught by Jesus is one of his teachings that really has permeated even our crazy world. But now, Jesus' teaching goes a bit further. Here at the Last Supper, it is not just some default level of civilized respect that Jesus expects. Rather, the love that the disciples are to show each other must actually separate them, mark them out specially from the rest of society. Here there must be something more, a true, full, awesome love. You, my disciples, I want you to love each other, not just with that love and respect with which you love yourself, but as I love you. Now that is a pretty tall order, considering that Jesus is just about to give up his life on the cross for those whom he loves. This is not a love just about being kind or about highly esteeming some stranger. Rather, this is a total, life-giving, sacrificial love that Jesus has for his disciples. Anyone in the world can simply respect somebody else. But if you are going to be a Christian, then you need to love other Christians with the same type of love that Jesus does. It's real easy for us to forget that in today's world, there are two groups of people: those who are in Christ's flock, and those who are not. Because we're called to love each group, we can easily conflate them or flatten them into one group to which we have some sort of generic concept of love toward. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his masterful Summa Theologiae, points out that it is actually incorrect to love all people equally. The virtue of charity, which is authentic love, is directed primarily to God, and then secondarily to all the women and men of the world to the extent that they are close to God. So it is proper to love Christians more fully than non-believers, because as Christians, we act for the sake of God. We love Him first, and then we love those who love Him next. Other Catholics and Christians are more closely aligned with us than non-Christians, and because of that, we love them. Now, this does not mean we stop loving those who do not worship God through Christ, but the intensity and the degree of our love is different. There is a genuine oneness among all of those who profess Christ. We are members of one body, the Church. The needs and concerns of our Christian brothers and sisters should be our needs and concerns. We are to bear each other's burdens. We are to share each other's joys. We are to live as truly united. After all, together we are on that same trajectory to live forever in the holy temple of God in paradise. Now, those outside of Jesus' flock, we are called to love as well, but in a different, even lesser way. We are to show them respect, certainly, and we are to desire their entry into our family so that they will become our brothers and sisters. But they are different, and we must not lose sight of that. Their goals, the ends at which they orient their lives, are not Jesus Christ and His eternal salvation. And by that very distinction, it should be clear that we have a hard time in uniting fully with them. Our love for these non-Christians should best be manifest in our desire for their conversion, so that they too will have the opportunity to benefit from Christ's meritorious redemption. When it comes to our relationships with non-Christians, we must always be careful not to begin to adopt their goals and their perspectives as our own. Tolerance is not the primary virtue to be practiced by mankind, and coexist is not the ultimate commandment to bring peace into the world. Jesus Christ is the only source of proper virtue that we have, the only end of our lives worth aiming at. We Christians know this, and that's why we orient our lives towards Him. And because of this, we necessarily have a more special bond with other Christians that includes an expectation of deeper love. A love that means we are even willing to sacrifice for our fellow Christians. Now, my sisters and brothers, we are blessed at Our Lady of Hope with such a vibrant, active parish. It has been a dream for me this year to have been able to serve here on the weekends, because it seems like we really get things right here. This church is not just some building that we all file into every weekend for Mass, but this is a spirited community that truly lives together and loves together. There are so many activities and groups in and through the parish that it's really hard to enumerate them all. Clearly, our parish takes this command of Jesus seriously, to love one another. We are part of each other's lives, and that's a real treasure in today's world. If you personally do not feel that you have taken advantage of the many opportunities to get involved in the ministries and activities of our parish, Our Lady of Hope, I'd encourage you to do so. Take home a copy of the bulletin and prayerfully consider how God might be calling you to love your Christian brothers and sisters more fully through a greater participation in our parish. not only will it bring you great joy and a greater sense of community, but you will be fulfilling the very command of Jesus. It is a tall order for us to love one another as Jesus loves us, and to love our fellow Christians in such a way that the rest of the world recognizes that we are Christian seems pretty difficult as well. The only way that this will happen is if we truly recognize what that love entails. That love means to empathize with and to truly accompany others through the tough times of their lives, not just to pat them on the back and tell them that it'll get better. That love means to share our joys and our gifts with others. It means that we live as a real community, spending time with each other and growing in holiness with each other. And most of all, it means that we are willing to sacrifice for each other, to give of ourselves so that other Christians may prosper. Christian love is unique, my brothers and sisters. Jesus invented it, and today he asks us to share it with each other. May the Holy Spirit, who is love itself, fill all of us here in this church with his presence, so that we may truly live as one body, united in Christ, bound together in his love.